Welcome, a listener, to another episode of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug. This is episode 145 of the podcast, as I reckon it. And it is, okay, you know what? I just have to apologize because the entire thing has been on the rush. I took a week off of work and it has been a vacation in a lot of senses, but unfortunately, one thing that I have not had any time to do really is be in front of my PC for, like, what now? It's Thursday, and I'm finally finding time to even cut together this episode, so I apologize. This whole thing is hasty. And you know what? We didn't even really talk about the topic that we had planned to talk about, which was Shroud of the Avatar and Underworld Ascendant and Star Citizen, and how it seems that all of these X-Origin personalities, just like when they get to Kickstarter and they're free from the constraints of a publisher, things just fall off the rails for them. And we barely talked about any of that at all. There's a whole smattering, whatever you want to call it, of other topics that come up. And it's a really great discussion, but we barely talk about the planned topic at all, which is kind of hilarious since we actually had a plan this evening. But listen to it, enjoy it, find out for yourself. As always, we are hosted on Anchor.fm, a newer, more social podcast hosting platform. You can find us at anchor.fm/SSSH podcast or at spamspamspamhumbug.com. If you are listening to us in the Anchor app, please do consider liking our podcast, liking our episodes, and of course, share. Share our episodes with your social media circles. Bring us some more listeners. Let people know you like us. And of course, you can also find us if you want to support the podcast or the Ultima Codex. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/Ultima Codex, if you would like to join the small but hearty crew of backers that we have. And as always, this episode of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug is brought to you by everyone who supports the podcast and the Codex by that means, especially our co-producers, Seth, Golden Flame, Chris, Dominic, Violation, Helgriff, Gronk, Pascal, and Thorwan. All right, really hasty intro. Let's get on with the show.
This is the bot's attempt to convince us it's not a bot.
This is a recording.
Not that we would ever tease Kenneth.
You're not helping your case any, Ken bot.
I know, right? Sorry, the kids are watching Despicable Me the other day, so.
Yeah. Aww, good for
that's
them.
What I got. It's a good show.
Yeah, I can't disagree with kids wanting to enjoy it, so.
I remember on a Discord server, some guy joined, and he immediately spammed, and I said, oh no, another bot, and he replied, I'm not a bot, and everyone said, typical response from a bot.
Yep. I am not a bot, I am a man!
Not your bot.
Gaslighting spammers for fun and profit. Well, fun. Not so much profit.
Oh, I like enjoying the whole calling people NPCs when they keep being stuck on being a certain way. It's like, no, I'm just going to keep calling you that.
I like swords. Welcome to Canaria.
About the fan of 8-bit theater.
What happened? I was at my daughter's fastball practice, and one of the kids, I don't remember exactly the circumstances. I think she got hit in the knee with a ball.
Ouch.
And so, of course, her dad, one of the coaches, was consoling her afterwards. But because he and I had been chatting just beforehand, and we'd actually, like, he's a computer programmer, I'm a, what I am. And so we had been talking a little bit about gaming. And
Ken, you can say bot.
It took everything I had after she felt better and went back to practicing. It took everything I had not to make a Skyrim joke.
I used to be a softball player like you, and then I took a ball to the knee.
I took a fastball to the knee.
Don't hold back. Make the jokes. Be shameless. It's fun.
Did someone steal your sweet roll?
Well, so, But I have a feeling that we have wandered. I have pulled everything horribly off topic, so.
Wait, no, that would require us to have a topic.
We do have a topic.
Come on.
It's us, though. Do we ever actually stick to topics?
Yeah, fair enough.
Doesn't matter if it's podcast, Discord, your name, IRC chat back in the day. We never stayed on topic.
Yeah, those that complain about herding cats have never herded dragons.
Stay on target.
It's no good. I can't shake them.
stay on target.
Get out of there. You're not doing any good back there.
Ah, that came in a different part in the movie, though.
Sorry. Stay on the leader.
But it's still very applicable. So
it is.
And I find myself reminded of trying to GM for a group and keep them
that
on.
That was point. Your first mistake.
Players never stay on target. I've learned to use this as a strength.
I like the one where it's like the three bowls of cat food, and it's like, you know, me, the GM, setting up
a
the
really
puzzle,
simple
for,
puzzle.
My, you know, for my group, and then it's like the three cats literally tied in knots, eating from each other's bowls.
My players coming up with a terrible solution.
And I saw a similar video, such a similar video with dogs.
Same idea.
Balls are served, and the dogs come running to the balls, and with their tongue they throw the food everywhere on the floor. The floor is covered with all the food, and they just frenetically eat the dry food, jumping from one place to another like crazy.
Sounds about right. Goodness.
The fun part is when you have like one or two players in the frantic group that are just aware enough so that when you set off the iron trap later, you see the dawning comprehension as all of a sudden all the clues that you sprinkled earlier that they frantically ignored drop into place, and they go, Oh,
that was foreshadowing.
Oh dear. I think fair sometimes some of the reason I keep running is for players like that.
There's an element of sadism then in any good GM, I suppose.
You have to provide your players with a challenge. The fact that they ramp up the challenge through their own efforts is not my problem.
Where I get the players where I'll put something I intend to basically be a team killer against them, and they'll find the one thing I didn't think of when building the encounter and totally bypass everything I thought of.
Yes. You have to realize that this slapdash team of idiots will suddenly crystallize into a force capable of killing God himself when combat hits the table.
Well, that's fitting since it was Sion that I was running, and they were fighting a high-tier demigod.
Sometimes it's not even that they, you know, wind up killing anybody. They just, you know, I've heard of scenarios where they, you know, just completely wind up circumventing the need for combat in general.
You see, I'm all right with that. In fact, to some extent, I encourage that with my players.
Oh, sure.
There will also absolutely be times where I will throw down a monster and it just be glaringly obvious that a head-on confrontation is just going to be like trying to attack a steamroller with a papillon.
That's a good analogy.
I'm pleased that more often my players actually recognize this than they used to.
This reminds of another meme that I've seen.
It means they're learning.
Walking volcano. I don't know what you did to piss the GM off, but you shouldn't have done it.
Can I go off into a bit of a curmudgeonly old GM story for a second?
Why not?
We've been so on topic so far.
Topic that has not even been announced, I will point out.
The group specifically that I was talking about, they were set up to fight a high-tier demigod who had been an arc villain for them for a long time. And rather than I set up a trap where they had a high value prisoner that the party needed to rescue because it was a mentor figure of theirs. I had it set up on the understanding they were probably going to try to stealth in. That was number one on my part. You know, I made it very clear. Chances
are. I'm going to assume that.
I'm going to tell you something right up front. From over 30 years of GMing, unless the whole party is built for stealth, never expect the party to take the stealth route.
Leroy!
I was actually just playing WoW Classic earlier. So,
At least I got chicken.
Actually,
there it is.
Actually, from my experience, I had a group of players where one would stealth forward, and afterwards he would cast, I think it was Dimension Door, to pull the whole party across.
Okay, that's got to be an interesting interpretation. The standard version don't work like that. But leaving rules grognardery aside.
There was like a couple of them that tried to stealth in. The rest of them rushed in the front door. And, you know, I had my villain doing his big smug, I've already won, can't you see I've already won rant.
Monologuing, yes.
And the
villain... I set the timer for 37 minutes ago.
Well, the trick is, he had a sword that had already killed one of the party's allies. It was a sword that was specifically anathema to the divine. You know, if, you know, it was something that in the hands of anybody could kill a god. Well, one of the party are complete and total, the one party complete and total non-combatant, as in, I don't even think they had one single dot of melee skill, was the one who went up in the rafters. And when he started monologuing and gesturing, the villain, the player asked me, has that, in any of his speech, has that character taken his hands off of his sword? And I said, yeah, he jammed it into the floor, you know, to state, you know, to, as a display of his own physical strength. So you're saying his hands aren't physically touching it now? Yes. I would like you to look at page so-and-such, it's so-and-such power. I'm going to telekinesis his sword up to me. And rules as written, that's exactly what that power could do, because he was using something from one of the splat books for Scion that I hadn't read quite. So I went and looked, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, this is why I have a hard rule about new mechanics, i.e. you want that shit, you gotta fly it by me first.
I must and
not just add it in at some point when you gain a new power, whether that's by leveling up or whatever.
And then he proceeded to do what Scion teaches you to do, and did a stunt and a legendary deed and invoked every single bonus he probably could.
To roll approximately 37 zillion dice?
Yes. The villain that I had written to the point where they weren't supposed to be able to even hit the guy, much less hurt him, the complete and total non-combatant in the party basically did a leaping dive from the rafters and did a full-on one-shot Ganondorf on the guy.
You know, I've seen impressive. Ganondorf, but it usually doesn't work so good.
Most impressive.
And I was, you know, I was actually stunned when I looked at the dice and saying all sorts of colorful metaphors over the chat. But I didn't expect it. I didn't plan for that, so I let him have it.
Well, there's no plans drives contact with the players.
Letting people have what they want sometimes is bad.
Well,
but we are talking about Shroud of the Avatar.
It was rules as written, and it was powers that that his character had access to from the purview he had access to. So his character should have been able to do exactly what he did.
I just remembered the fun that is playing with the mythic rules from Pathfinder.
Oh, God.
Like the mythic boons. There's a list of things that, if they happen, the player gets a mythic boon. It's been several years, so I don't remember exactly what was the mythical boon. But one of the events that would trigger the player to receive a mythical boon was to survive 3 critical hits in a single round.
And frankly, when you're playing at Mythic, that's something that can actually happen with reasonable probability.
I'm talking about 3 natural 20s in a single round.
Okay, so Mythic is essentially Pathfinder. It is kind of sort of like Pathfinder's version of the old Epic Level Handbook, only it's designed to be added into the game at any point
not wait until you're already at level 20 plus.
Yeah, and you can just take it away when the event or the conditions are gone, and everyone's back to normal.
You can, yes. At the same time, yes. Wow, that's there's Pathfinder has mostly avoided what I feel are the worst excesses of 3.5's brokenness, but the Mythic system just basically takes that whole notion and says, F this. Break everything.
It was fun playing with that. And also, there was a character who also scored 3 critical hits in a single round. It did happen. With natural 20s.
Yikes.
I've had 3 natural ones in a combat round before.
That's the other side of it.
that's just what we call everyday gaming. Trust me, I've run for plenty of tables. I have watched the Legion of Suck roll over many a party.
And another mythical boon that you receive is when you kill a mythical character in a single round. And when one character kills a mythical character in a single round, and that did happen twice.
For when you really, really want the quickening in your game.
Yeah, and then I'm talking about starting with full hit points and getting killed in a single round by a single character.
Yep. There's a reason why I don't really use the Mythic rules, even though I own the books. Possibly several reasons.
Yeah, it sounds like every time I play Ultima 6 with glass swords.
When I added the Mythic rules, we already had about a year and a half playing, and we were on the nearing the end of the campaign, and it was sort of a climax on the plot, and they acquired they managed to restore the power to a demigoddess, and the fact that they were aiding her is what sort of made her grant them power. So they were sort of like the servants or help her, and that's when I added the mythical rules.
From a story standpoint, I can totally see several places where it makes sense. It's the whole, I don't know, when you decide that balance is no longer even something you need to pay lip service to, I get a little leery.
Nah.
Also, Ken, when you mentioned the glass swords thing, glass swords at least break when you use them.
Yeah, well, yes. But, I mean, come on. Anybody who knows how glass swords work doesn't go into combat with just one.
Yes, yes, yes.
Although I don't know if glass swords... You know what? I haven't tested this in U6 in a long time. I really should. I don't think that glass swords behave like throwing axes, right? Because if you have 20 throwing axes in your inventory...
No, they don't...
If you throw one, it auto-loads the next one.
No. I am almost certain that it does not, in fact, work like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it does not. But, you know, whatever.
anything to boot a bolt to six, right?
Yeah.
We know what you like.
Well, that didn't sound creepy.
Well, I like Ultima 6. I mean, what can I say? Ugh, I really wish that someone would remake that. Wait.
That didn't sound creepy? I'll have to try harder.
Podcast, you'll have to try a lot harder.
I'll have to try.
Just to give you an idea of the scale of the game at that point, when I was applying the Mythic rules, they were fighting a kaiju. That's a massive monster. Oh,
they're always fun.
Yeah, I know what kaiju are.
They were aboard a war airship. They had lots of of cannons, lots of firepower.
And it's not enough.
The warship was firing at the kaiju, and then they jumped on the kaiju. They used the what was the name of that spell? Spider Walk? One where you just stick to the walls and surfaces.
Spider Climb.
Spider Climb. And they stuck to the kaiju with Spider Climb, and then they started fighting. They tried to chop off its tail, which was a sort of a it was like a mace with long razor sharp blades on it, and it would swing the tail, and then the wings were so powerful they created hurricanes, and it was just massive. And what happened is one of the characters was a grappler. He was specialized in grappling, and he had a power which allowed him to lock himself in place, and the mythic rules allowed him to use that power to a degree that he could just lock himself in mid-air or that kind of thing. So he grappled the kaiju, and then he's stuck in place. The kaiju was there floating in the sky, and then the warship fired at its maximum power. The mages at the warship also used their most powerful spells, and then that's how they killed the dragon. And then the player was very happy because he just managed to pull it off. He managed to beat the kaiju's grappling score.
Considering the size of those creatures is a trick all in of itself, but again, mythic, so at that point.
Yeah.
That's the most Tiburon level silliness. For those who don't read 1D4chan, Los Tiburon was a Pathfinder D&D story about a half-orc monk who specialized in grappling and rolled to pin a dragon's wing while on its back and rolled a natural 20.
Well, in this case, it was a half-giant, and he had it was a psychic warrior and had an expansion power which could allow him to grow three, I think it allowed, with the mythic and everything, it allowed him to grow three size categories. And also, being a half giant, he counted as an additional size category higher.
Because otherwise, you're just not grappling something that big. It's just not going to happen. And sorely tempted to nitpick that whole natural 20 thing, because I know the Pathfinder rules. And technically, grapple checks are not attack rolls. So a 20 is not an automatic success. You still have to actually beat the CMD with a grapple check.
Well, when it comes to grappling in almost any system, my eyes tend to glaze over.
Well, I can't blame you for that. That's because almost every system that uses grappling decides to make it hardly complex for reasons that don't really stand. We're going to make grappling so complex that almost nobody will want to use it to encourage people to just stick to swords.
Yeah, they haven't figured out a
quick and graceful way of doing it. No.
Fun.
I mean, to this day, there is a trope on TV Tropes, grappling with the grappling rules.
Yeah, yeah. Go fall down that rabbit hole. You'll be there a while, trust me.
I have been. I have lost multiple hours of my life just cross-referencing and clicking and clicking and finding, why am I looking at an anime about horse girls that run?
Hey, at least it wasn't the bird dating simulator.
I think that one is actually banned off Twitch. It was either Hotiful or Honeypot was banned off Twitch.
Almost certainly Honeypot, actually, because Honeypot actually has some nudity in it, and you know, that tends to send the Twitch censors into a flurry.
It's weird, though, speaking
whereas Hatiful just has a bleeped up freaking storyline once you play through enough routes to actually see it all.
The rules are weird, though. If it's not the main aspect of a game, you can get away with it as long as you get past it as quickly as you're able.
So,
you can deal with nude statuary in, say, an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah. If you don't spend like 20 minutes ogling the nude statuary just sitting there, you're fine.
I can almost guarantee you, though.
The problem is in Honey Pop. It's literally an integral portion of the game's play reward system. So yeah, it doesn't really fly.
Well, and given the nature of how much the character creator for the game has been hawked, I'm sure you'd have to play with nudity off if you were going to be doing Cyberpunk.
Well, we've kind of covered the streams
will get to that in due course, I'm sure. But yeah, we are once again drifting far, far away. So, Ken, what was the topic? This might be a good time to introduce it.
There was some thought that we might talk about Shroud of the Avatar, which, you know, okay.
Do
we really want to beat that dead horse more? Because, I mean...
Well, I don't know.
Well,
you know what?
I need to raise my glue-making skill.
Does it have something to do with emasculation?
Kind of.
Not,
I guess,
that I'm
like
aware
in a roundabout way. I don't know. Like,
I mean, just... if you stretch it a little and squint at it, funny. Like those 3D eye pictures.
I have never in my life been able to make one of those look right for me. But then
I think I was able to once, maybe.
Apparently, we all have a similar flaw. Because 99% of those things, I cannot get to work for me at all.
I think. Well, anyways. Yeah, I think once I was able to, but whatever. Yeah, clearly I just don't have the eyes for it.
I do believe our intended point of topic had to deal with the disappointments of kickstarted games by Origin former player or former staff.
That is an amazingly specific bullseye you have produced, sir.
Well, specifically, we were talking about Underworld Ascendant, Soda, and Star Citizen, I do believe.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, like, Star Citizen is kind of the low-hanging fruit here, because Star Citizen really hasn't changed, right? Like, it's just doing what it's always doing, which is to say that it's kind of steamrolling ahead with this crowdfunding campaign that continues to amass millions of dollars for reasons unbeknownst to me, and delivering incremental updates.
How do us mere mortals get in on that action?
Well, that, but, I mean, beyond that, like, okay.
I want to make millions of dollars and not do work. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, it does seem that they are doing work, but also, like, you know, if you read some of their status updates from years ago versus some of their status updates now, it seems to be that the work is somehow regressing the state of the project.
Hey, they're just launching a demake, that's all.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, right? Because, like, they went from, like, you know, early status report. Was it Bartenders or something? I can't even remember now, but I think it was Bartenders, right? Like, they had implemented Bartenders, and then, you know, like, years later, they had sort of, you know, begun implementing the Bartender system, and it's like, well, wait.
We've implemented the Bartender. Now the Bartenders can actually start doing things.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But, like, to read some of their notes, Star Citizen is kind of the low-hanging fruit here. Like, they have amassed a ridiculous amount of money. Who knows how much of it has actually been spent? There's a lot of indications that things are being worked on, even if it is just photorealistic recreations in CryEngine of, like, Mark Hamill's face. But at the same time, you know, what little of Star Citizen is playable is not that much. And it does not overly impress, even treated as, you know, like a tech demo for a CryEngine-based title.
when we say the system is a little underwhelming, perhaps we're being kind.
But I mean, like, the thing that got me onto the idea of maybe having this topic was, I mean, we, a lot of, you know, just Shroud of the Avatar stuff, right? And I mean, like, just some of it, actually, you know, in a roundabout way, I guess it kind of starts with Underworld Ascendant, because, of course, Underworld Ascendant has... Now, Underworld Ascendant is a complete game. Now, granted, it's not the same game that necessarily they were pitching during the Kickstarter, right? I think Umbre was pointing out that it was pitched more as, you know, a dungeon-crawling RPG, but what it wound up being was more of a puzzle solver. Now, okay, fine, whatever, but at least they did actually turn in a game, and there are some novelty to the mechanics in it. So at least in that sense...
Some of
sense,
the voice they... acting was actually okay, what little they actually did have. And...
Sure.
Some of the puzzles and stuff was actually enjoyable, and it's like, it's not a terrible game, it's just a little underwhelming, which...
It's not a terrible game, it's not what we were expecting from it.
Now, if you want a terrible game that was from a back Kickstarter, one of them needs to look at number 9.
Is number 9 the name of the game, or do you actually have a list of 10 terrible games, and this is number 9 on the list?
No, Mighty Number 9 is the name of the game. It was put out
Mighty Number 9. I didn't hear the word Mighty.
Yeah, that was the Mega Man spiritual successor?
From the guy who was behind the Mega Man series, but it came out, but it wasn't that good. And I don't think people got their physical, you know, goodie fulfillments on that either. You know, like the whole whole game box and book thing that we have trouble, or that we've been having trouble with.
Right, and that was kind of the big criticism of Underworld Ascendant as well, was that, you know, like, hey, where are the game boxes?
Thou didst promise a good, and thou hast not delivered. Dost thou honorably correct my mistake?
Correct mistakes.
Hang on, Drax, you're kind of lagging out there.
Yeah, expecting them to fix anything is crazy.
I was saying that I've been playing a game. It's let's call it 20XX, and there's a sort of a sequel, 30XX, coming. The 20XX is basically a sort of a Mega Man X clone with two playable characters and two DLC characters. And it's a mix of a Mega Man sort of game with Rogue. You have a single life, and your energy, your life points do not recover after each stage. You have to get health capsules to recover your health and everything. And so you start the game, and you start on the first stage, you beat the boss from that stage, and then you go to the next one with the life energy that you had left from the previous one, and try to survive and get to the boss of that stage and kill it and go on and on and on until the end. The stages are procedurally generated randomly, and also, the starting stage and the stages available after you finish one stage are random as well. The power-ups you find are also random. You can find the different upgrade suits, upgrade helmets, upgrade armor, upgrade boots, upgrade weapons.
Sounds like they really pushed the roguelike portion of the equation there.
Yeah, and it's quite fun. I already finished it several times with the main character. I'm getting used to the second character. Still haven't finished it with the second character, but with the first character, I can start from the beginning and go all the way through to the end without much problems.
So it's what Mighty Nine should have been.
Played with the two DLC characters. And it's really addictive because the stages are... They are not only randomly generated, so they also get harder as you go forward. So if you get, for example, the Sky Temple stage at the beginning, it's very easy. But if you get it by the end, like that's the eighth stage, for example, there are lots of hazards, lots of flying enemies. They are more powerful. There are lots of shooting going on, and you have to. There are lots of laser beams that you have to time correctly. There are moving platforms which you have to jump on and dodge the beams, synchronize yourself. It's a nightmarish compared to if you get it at the first stages.
Huh.
And that added to the fact that it's randomly generated, and there are power-ups, there are also power-downs.
It's a trap!
Yeah. Sometimes they benefit you. For example, there's a power down which halves your life bar, but it doubles your energy bar.
More DACA.
Yeah, so with the energy bar, you have access to the weapons, and you can use them more times. But when you have 44 life and 30 of energy, it's really not so bad to get your life halved and the energy to get to the double.
Yes.
Indeed.
Put it on the table.
I guess I walked right into that one. So, anyways. Well, there you go. There's your game recommendation for this episode, 20XX. I'm reminded of nothing so much as one of the many, many weird spin-offs that came out of the Strong Bad emails. You know, 20XD6, which was their weird take on anime. So,
there's the link.
There it is.
They have a campaign for 30XX. I don't remember if they have a crowdfunding campaign or not. Been more entertained by playing the game than checking the advertising.
Fair enough.
As it should be.
Yeah, that was literally what I was thinking.
See, and there's sort of, you know, if they are doing crowdfunding or whatever, like, based on everything you've said, I would have reasonable confidence in their ability to deliver a good follow-up, which... you know, like, unfortunately, yeah, there's another one coming up.
It's a simultaneous two-player game as well.
Ah, that's all right.
That can be nice sometimes.
Hmm. Yeah, local or online.
Handy. It's nice to have a couch co-op game.
Well, there's something special about...
I don't know. I'm not sure I want other people co-opting my couch. I like my couch.
Well, I've had people co-opt my games before. But then again, that's more a matter of me being engaged to a gamer.
As you say, that sounds more just like a sort of extended loan.
Well, this was a "this is mine now, go buy yourself a new copy" situation.
Okay, so that's
sounds like marriage.
If you let an exotic dancer crash on your couch, does that count as having it co-opted? Asking for a friend.
Oh. This was a case of
back when I think you might end up drawing more aggro than you intended with that maneuver.
That was a long time ago.
The aggro field was different then.
Yeah, well, not going into that story, but there is a story.
we'll have to try and pry it out of you in a different session.
Oh, I'm sure we could do that.
Oh, but
get a wrench. You've read XKCD. You know what you have to do.
There's a lot of XKCD. What I may have to do is a long possible list of options.
It's not wrong.
There's only a handful of XKCDs that involve a wrench, and even fewer of those that involve extracting information from someone.
So, which teeth do you like least?
I already had mine out, actually. Thanks.
Well, we can go for the encore.
It is true.
And now that we've gone through that little grimdark scenario.
Yes. So, after that digression.
True story. Anybody remember Final Fantasy XI, the first MMO?
Nope.
Yes.
Well, being the absolutely huge weeaboo that I am.
Go on.
So noted. I got myself a copy when it first came out because I was thinking anything with Final Fantasy is going to be good. Mind you, I hadn't seen the movie yet.
Ha, you had not learned to suffer for your brand yet.
Well,
I kind of enjoyed Spirits.
Oh, it was a good movie. I just had
no, to no, 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 no. I was referring to Final Fantasy XI, not Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
Yeah, 11. Yeah, I still have issues with that game.
It was an MMO in the style of old games that made you suffer for it.
See?
Past about level 10, you had to be in a group to do anything more than wipe your own behind.
And even that required two players.
It's true.
Wait.
It's true.
Anyhow, my fiance, who at the time was just my friend, you know, we hadn't gotten over ourselves quite yet.
That took level 15.
Anyhow, she saw what I was playing and it's like, hey, that looks interesting, because she was big into Final Fantasy as well, and asked me if she could take a look at the game. So I let her start playing on one of my auction house mules for a while. You remember auction house mules in games, went back before they were linked by city to city in games. You know, the bad old days of each city having its own auction house. Well, as she was playing while I was on my, I think I was playing Pokemon Ruby on my GBA, or I was on my playing on my PS2 at the time, so I wasn't really, you know, paying attention to what she was doing. So I told her, hey, I'm going to go to bed. You can keep, she's like, but I want to keep playing. Well, you can, as long as you stay quiet. I got to sleep.
So can any of you see where this is going?
I'm just enjoying sitting back and waiting.
I'm just chuckling under my breath here.
8 hours later, I roll over, I wake up. She is still sitting on the foot of my bed playing Final Fantasy XI.
Yep.
And has a character higher level in one night than I had in a month.
Yep.
How do you think I feel? I got New World today and played it on stream for just a few hours to hit level 10. And I look at my friends at basically the reason why I got it. They're already like three times my level almost.
And
because they've just been staying up all hours of the day every day for like 2 days now.
Yep. And I looked at her and what she was kind doing. I saw that she was still going strong, mind you. And I said, well, shit, I guess I'm buying myself a new copy of the game. And she just grinned at me and said, yes, you are.
No, like me, I've done more in a short time than they seem to have done in like days. And it's just like, yep, I'm terrible.
And again, I will point it's out for the terrible, crowd.
Really the right word for it?
Kind of emasculates them a little bit.
Well, you see, I've just reached the point where I realize I don't have enough time to devote that much time to an MMO. So, you know, if someone else does, hey, more power to them.
Yeah, it's just the fact that I can be more efficient just kind of cracks me up. And it comes from that whole issue of just not having time to sink into one for all hours.
Okay, where is that third black pearl?
There it is. And she ended up going on to end up being the main raid tank for her group whenever they did 70 plus massive raids.
Well, good for her.
Whatever flutes your boot.
Boot in a boot.
So true. Yeah,
it's funny that you could tell where that story was going before I even got there, though.
This might tell you a thing or two I know about these experiences.
See, like if it had been my wife, then it wouldn't have been Final Fantasy. It would have been like two seasons later of Deep Space Nine. But still.
Somehow she mystically absorbs more episodes than you could actually play in the time allotment.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
How do you break physics so?
I don't know. Maybe she just skips things in her. It's funny. Like even now, you know, when she's not feeling all that great, she'll just put on DS9 to kind of listen to in the background as she falls asleep. And there's times when, you know, I've flipped the phone over in the morning and amazingly, A, still has enough battery to have video going still. But B, it's like, wait a minute. Like This is not like you were on season three. This is season six. Like, are you skipping episodes in your sleep? Like, what are you doing? But whatever. It's Deep Space Nine, so can I really complain? No, I cannot.
I hate to break it to you, Kenneth Bot, but she's actually a bot too. She's just, you know, better at it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll take it.
No, don't forget, time is relative when it involves light speed travel.
Time exactly, is relative, right? Time is relative. So are in-laws.
Sadly, I have not yet figured out how to asymptotically approach my in-laws, but never actually reach them.
Parallel processing. Lots and lots of parallel processing.
The geekiest math joke I'm going to make all year.
No, you'll do better. I have faith.
Well, yeah, well.
It reminded me of the old time I was told that there are 10 people in the world, those who understand binary and those that don't.
Damn, Skippy.
Yep. 4, 4.
There are also two kinds of people in the world. Those who can extrapolate from incomplete data.
And yes, I deliberately left that blank.
Note the silence.
I'm suddenly reminded of my high school chemistry and physics teacher who had a pet mole in his classroom named Avogadro.
I can think of a number of reasons for that.
That gotcha. Kicked up dirt that was so low.
Submolar, as it were.
Oh, I remember a story of one of my wife's aunts or like one of her relatives had a pet snake, and a rather large snake. I don't know if it was a boa constrictor or something, but a large pet snake. And somehow a mouse found its way into the snake's enclosure. And was not immediately devoured. So the owners of the snake named the mouse Time. And I guess the mouse lasted about 3 months before the snake finally decided that it needed a snack.
Yep.
What, yep. Did she end up buying three more mice named Parsley, Sage, and Rosemary?
That would have been good.
Yeah, the mouse was just good company.
Yeah, well, you know, there have been stranger pairings. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but...
You know, field rations. You don't eat them until you have to.
That's true. Oh, look, more Lembas bread.
Cram.
And I still remember actually having to sit down and explain to people why they didn't just ride the Eagles into Mordor once.
Yeah. There is a long list of reasons well established in story canon for why.
Right. Now, putting some of those on screen, Peter Jackson wasn't really going there, so.
So some of them involve a giant flaming eye above Barad-dûr. Also Nazgul on Felbeast.
Also that.
I can't begin to tell you the literature nerd's rage I had one time not long after A Fellowship of the Ring, the movie, came out when I was in a Walmart, mistake number one.
Given.
But this, mind you, the town I live in, Walmart is quote unquote the big store. Anyhow.
Right.
Well, that's true of like a lot of towns across America, but go on. And Canada too, actually. Anyways, continue.
I did my customary trip through the book section to see if they had potentially had any new role-playing material or to see if they had any books that interested me because I was starting to get into the Harry Potter novels at the time.
Right. Which reminds me, I need to find Order of the Phoenix. It's around here somewhere, but my daughter really wants to read it, and we don't know where it is. Anyways, sorry, continue.
Well, you know, just wait until it bursts into flames, and then you'll be all right.
Accio book. Oh, sorry, Harmony, go on.
The funny part, I don't really dare say funny because it was not so much funny as in I wanted to strangle somebody.
Hey, in retrospect, some of those
but
are
humorously...
Funny.
This was
since you're not currently in prison, clearly you made the right choice in the end.
Indeed.
Either that or you're good at hiding a body.
Anyway.
They actually gave us mushrooms at the army. But anyway, I was listening into a couple of teenage girls looking at the Lord of the Rings books because they had reissued them with like Orlando Bloom and such on the cover.
As one does.
It's like, oh, these Lord of the Rings books. You know, these are just like the movie. No, they're a little bit different. That, you know, they're different. Well, they should change it to be more like the movie.
Ah, I can see why you were having fist of death problems.
Yeah.
Yes.
Must control fist of death.
Classic Dilbert.
But, and you know, I dare not go up to say them because these were like girls who were like 13, 14, 15. I was in my 20s and I had a scraggly beard which was already starting to go gray. I looked like a hobo. I realized if I walked in and started this neckbeardy conversation about books, I would probably be seen at best as a pervert.
Yeah, that would not go well. Good ending there.
I don't think pervert would be the best scenario. The best scenario would be harmless kook. Let's get away from him.
Still, no good.
Still, this is another point where there are better things to be thought of, but none of them are good.
There are other investments of energy.
This was also about the same time I had also been asked to leave a GameStop or else cops would be called, even though I was just going in to buy a game and hadn't done anything because it was Pokemon night. And there were a bunch of kids there to play the Pokemans and, you know, the cards.
Yeah. And
parents saw me as an unattended, hobo-looking person.
Yep.
And a beat-up old jacket, you know, coming into a store at night while there were a bunch of kids there.
It's not a good look. It really isn't.
It doesn't really work for you, no.
Well, I cultivated it at the time because I figured it would be a way to get people to leave me alone.
Well, yes. You know what? In that sense, you did probably succeed. This, unfortunately,
this is what we call one of those "yes, but" moments.
Yes,
quite.
It is also a look that is cultivated to make people want you to leave them alone. Anywhere near them.
As evidenced by the 100% success rate of them, you know, threatening to call the cops on you.
Well. And the store guy did ask me to leave. I said, look, I'm just here to buy a game. I'm here to give you money. And he said, look, I know that would normally be fine. However, these $50, $60 I might get out of you doesn't match the several hundred, if not thousands of dollars I'll get from these kids and their children. Please leave.
Between tournament fees and packs that they will buy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't argue. I mean, I was upset. I was more upset than I probably should have been, but I understood.
That is one habit I'm glad my kids have not acquired. You know, they're hardcore for Minecraft, but Pokemon is kind of just like, well, Pikachu is cute.
Oh, look, an electric rat. How adorable.
Well, technically, hashtag it's a Trilby, not a fedora. Technically, Pikachu is more of a chinchilla. If you look at his
mom. I'm going to come back with that and say, as far as I'm concerned, that actually makes it worse. I've seen plenty of adorable rats. I have never seen an adorable chinchilla. But again, that's me. Your mileage may vary.
Indeed.
If you want to join the Ultimate Dragons, you can do so at udic.org, where you can choose your very own dragon name. You can also find the Ultimate Dragons on Facebook. We have a Facebook group there. And you can follow at Ultimate Dragons on Twitter or join them on Discord. And if you're feeling really old school, you can even fire up a Telnet client and check out the Wearmount. Hit up the show notes for links to all of these. If you want to participate more directly in the podcast, you can send us an email. Or if you're feeling a little bit braver, leave us a voice message in one of three places: the podcast website, our Facebook page, or on anchor.fm. And you're also welcome to join us on our Discord server to chat with us, to lurk, or even contribute to podcast recordings when they happen. And again, links in the show notes. If you'd like to support Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug, you can do so at patreon.com/ultimacodex, where for as little as a dollar a month, you can get access to episodes the day before they go live to the general public. You'll also get access to behind-the-scenes audio when we have some to share, and possibly other interesting content. But we also welcome your moral support. You can like the Ultima series on Facebook, follow at Ultima Codex on Twitter, or leave the podcast a review on iTunes. And you're also welcome to share our episodes with your friends and social media circles. Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug is a production of the Ultima Codex. You can find show notes online at spamspamspamhumbug.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time, be virtuous.